Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Who are you? I used to work with a guy who always introduced himself as Mark the Baker. As if Baker was his last name. It wasn't. But he was a baker. In fact, he managed our bakery program when I worked in campus dining at UC Santa Cruz from the mid-90s to the early 2000s. So if Mark ever referred you to any place around town, anywhere else in Santa Cruz, he always told you to tell them Mark the Baker sent you. It didn't matter if it was a restaurant, if it was a car repair shop, or a tattoo parlor. He never referred me to a tattoo parlor, but anywhere he referred you, they knew him as Mark the Baker. Now, there was a time when your name was your job. Like Mark, you were known by what you did. And over time, we began to drop the in between your first name and your job, and your job just became your surname, like Baker, right? Names like Cook, Smith, Cooper, Fletcher, Boyer. That's my mom's maiden name, Boyer. The one who deals with bows. I don't know. And then there were names like Butler, that's Robin, my wife's maiden name, and Porter and Knight, which indicated one's social status. Today, our names are not so much tied with our jobs, but a person's job is often used to learn about who a person is. When we meet someone, we ask them what they do or what they did. And then we use that information to make some assumptions about them, to categorize them, to put them in the correct box, and so forth. I spent 15 years in contract food service management on college campuses. And in the past 16 years, I have been a pastor. And I could tell you, I got a much different response from people when I worked in food service and told them that's what I did than I get now when I say that I'm a pastor. And they'll be like, I'll say I'm a minister, they'll go, is that like a pastor? Is that like a priest? Yeah, except I get to marry. And then either the conversation goes, we had dinner the other night with a couple, and you know, she asked a theological question and apologized for making me work, but so it either goes that way, or it shuts down the conversation entirely because they're trying not to swear. I worked for 15 years in food service. I have heard every word, colorful word you can imagine. What a person does or did for work can reveal something about that person, but it's their vocation that actually reveals who they are. In our gospel reading today, we read about John in the gospel according to John. These are not the same Johns, which can be confusing. John's a pretty common name. But now we've got a gospel of John and the gospel writer who's writing about John. The John that we read about is the first John we read about, the first human we read about in John's gospel. And the rest of John's prologue, which we read from last week, we read about the Word becoming flesh and living among us. And then in verse 6 of John's poetic prologue, we're introduced to this man named John. This man named John, who the author of John is writing about, was not the Apostle John. That's the writer of John, is the Apostle John, but this man named John is not that John. Nor is he one of the followers of Jesus. I mean, he was, but he actually came before Jesus. And then he did, I guess, follow him. This John, who we read about, is introduced in Matthew's gospel as John the Baptist. As John the Baptizer in Mark, and is described as John the son of Zechariah by Luke. But the gospel writer of John doesn't provide us with any of those helpful descriptors of who this John is, because I don't think he wants us to categorize this John the way that we do when we hear what somebody does. He wants us to have an open mind as we read about what he is doing. This gospel writer, as Mr. Justin shared with the children a few moments ago, introduces John as John the Witness. because he came as a witness to the light, so that all may believe through him. You see, God gave John a purpose, a vocation, and that vocation was to testify to the light. I think we can all agree the light is important. It has always been important. I suspect it will always be important. And it's nice to see that the sun is shining now. But we've had a month here where I think we all would have preferred to have more sunshine than we've had, to have more sunlight than we've actually experienced. But the good news is for us, if it isn't bright enough in a room, we just flip a switch. Or we wait until the timer turns on the lights. Or we say, Alexa, turn on the living room lights. And there is light, as though we were the creator ourselves. But they didn't enjoy such conveniences in the first century in Palestine. So the world they lived in was much darker than the world as we know it. But their darkness was not just the result of a lack of electricity. The Jews were living in a dark world of persecution. And they were longing for freedom from the social, political, and religious bondage that they were experiencing at the hands of the Romans. So they were anxiously awaiting the arrival of the promised Messiah to deliver them from all of it. And as a result, it made them vulnerable. It made them susceptible. It made them anxious to try and see the Messiah in all of these people around them and anxious to try to believe that any of these people who were teaching anything might be the Messiah, the one they were waiting for. So when this man, John, shows up on the scene, the people went out to hear him. He was his voice of the one crying into the darkness of the wilderness. And they were hoping that he was the long-awaited Messiah. And if he wasn't the Messiah, maybe he was Elijah, because the prophet Malachi said that Elijah would come before the Messiah came. Elijah would return before that day when the Messiah returned. And if it wasn't Elijah, then maybe it was another prophet with a word for them. And in our reading, it may have been tempting for John to let them think that he was the Messiah or let them think that he was Elijah. But John didn't do that. You see, John understood what his vocation was, and that was to point to Jesus and to prepare his way. He knew that he was not the light, but that he was to bear witness to the light. And that's what John has done. In our reading, we read that the next day, after he had been asked who he was and explained that he was not the Messiah or Elijah, John saw Jesus walking toward him. And as Jesus came toward him, John declared loudly for all to hear, "Here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Then John makes clear that the one walking toward him is the one whom he had already said about, that the one who comes after me will rank before me. There is no question who is greater than the other. John makes clear that Jesus is the one. And he is not. Now, interestingly enough, in John's gospel, there is no baptism of Jesus. At least not the way it's described in the other gospels where we're told the story of Jesus' baptism, where Jesus comes into the water and John says, "I'm not worthy to baptize you. You should be baptizing me." Instead, this gospel writer only refers to Jesus' baptism without narrating the details. And I think he does that because he wants to distance John's identity from being the baptizer, from being the one who is the witness to Jesus. He doesn't want us to think about John as being the baptizer or the Baptist. He wants to open up the possibility that we could experience and read and learn about John as being the witness to the light, rather than simply the one who was there to baptize Jesus. You see, John's vocation was to be a witness to the light. That was not his job. And so he came as a voice calling into the wilderness to make straight the way of the Lord. John came to prepare the way of Jesus and to point to him, and that is what he did. It wasn't his job, it was his vocation. And it became his identity. Now, John had his own ministry, and at times it got confused with Jesus' ministry, but John never was confused about his vocation. He was never confused about his identity or his purpose, for he himself had seen and testified that Jesus is the chosen one, the Messiah, Christ the Lord. Now, as Mr. Justin pointed out with the kids, each of us, regardless of our name, has a job. But regardless of what those jobs are, we have all been entrusted the same vocation as John. And Luther refers to this as vocation and says that each of us, regardless of what we are paid to do, has a vocation or responsibility to share the good news of Jesus Christ. This is not work that is set aside for those of us who wear a collar or an alb on a Sunday morning, those of us who are paid by the church. This is work that we are all called to do. And we are called to do this work through our baptisms. My vocation when I worked as a food service manager is no different than it is today. My job is different. I get paid from a different source. My day looks different. But my vocation as a baptized child of God has not changed. I am to bear witness to the good news of God's love freely given to me through the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. I was then, and I am now. This morning, hi, Kira. This morning, Kira will be baptized in this worship service. Kira, the great-granddaughter of Sandy Wyatt and the daughter of Parrish Matt, you are confirmed here, Parrish? Yeah. So it's an honor to have them come back. They live in Oklahoma and over here for the holidays to allow us to welcome Kira into the family of God together. Kira's only 6 months old, so she doesn't have a job yet. Well, she may have chores, but she doesn't have a job yet. But the truth of the matter is that as Kira is baptized, she will be given the same vocation as the rest of us, to bear witness to the good news of Jesus Christ. And as she is baptized, each of us in this community, in this congregation, in this church, has a responsibility to help make sure that Kira understands what that vocation is, so that she can learn from us what does it mean to bear light to the light, to bear witness to the light of Christ's love by all that she says and all that she does. And the way that we do that is by bearing witness to her and to others in a way that she sees and emulates and copies. It's a lot of responsibility, but you know, any vocation is, and anything worthwhile is. John came to point to Jesus, to prepare the way for the Lord. He pointed to the Messiah who was born in a manger and warned us, prepared us, told us that therein lied the Savior of the world. And so too are we called to bear witness to the birth of Jesus Christ and to the amazing love that changed the world and continues to change it today. So go and do what you were called to do.